Connected live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959 with myself, Guguletu Mfupi. I am so excited for our next guest this evening. Someone who, yo, we come a long way. Must we tell them? We won't, Dr. Frank. But we've come a long way discussing all things regarding personal finance and financial wealth and well-being. And as you've heard, we've really built up this conversation throughout the course of the first hour and a half of the show, really painting a picture not only about the performance of the GDP and the fact that, yes, we saw a contraction, but consumer spending is still expected to pick up. Yeah. Interest rates are lower. Inflation has eased. We've got access to Two-Pot. And it does seem as though on the back of the data we're seeing from banks and other institutions, we as South Africans have been spending and are feeling a little bit more relaxed around the economy. But I'm definitely not too sure if that's the case, right?
It is definitely that, yeah. There's that sense of optimism, that sense of this, you know, government of national unity, we are going in the right direction. So definitely this kind of optimism. And you saw that even with expenditure around Black Friday, for example.
Yes, definitely. I even forgot to introduce you. To those of you who have just joined us, this is a good friend of the show, Dr. Frank Makwekwe, Executive for Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank, joining us to tell us more about a very important report regarding the Nedfin Health Monitor, how it is that we are managing our financial behavior. Hey, when it comes to money, it's a sensitive topic, eh?
It is.
I know we've had some listeners get very emotional when we speak to you because the reality of money and our lifestyles and our emotions and the options it gives us. Yeah.
They're all intertwined, Google.
Right?
Yeah. And I often say, you know, we think of money as rands and cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
A 100 rand note, a 20 rand note. For me, at the end of the day, I have come to believe that money evokes emotions.
Yes.
Of excitement, of joy, of anxiety, of worry. So one of the most important things we can do for ourselves is kind of to listen to ourselves, either just listen to what the body is saying or just thoughts around kind of what does money say to me? Because that explains, Google, a lot of what we then do with money, what we call financial behavior. A lot of it is triggered by our relationship with money. So you're quite spot on.
Exactly. I've always believed that money might not make you happy, but it gives you options.
Absolutely.
And as you said, it's one that evokes a lot of emotions. Looking at the latest data regarding the Nedfin Health report, which tracks our financial behavior, it seems as though there's mixed feelings regarding South Africans and our attitude towards the current climate and just the stance of our finances right now. Tell us more as to how we're feeling. Stressed, relaxed, or hey, sisa sokola sonke.
I think somewhere in the middle. You know why I'm saying that, Gugu? Because what's so interesting about the report is we started the report last year as Nedbank, and really with this idea of let's get a sense of how South Africans are engaging their money, buying, borrowing, spending, and plans around it.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we see a story of two halves. What do I mean by that? I think you've got this first half where you have consumers clearly saying, one, I'm worried. I am spending a little bit more than I earn.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I feel I have a little bit too much debt. I'm struggling somewhat with the amount of debt that I have, right? Three, I am struggling to pay all my bills on time. I'm paying some of them, but I want to be honest, I can't pay all of them on time, right?
Yes.
So you get that message. Then, Gugu, you take that message and you then look at such an interesting data point that the very same South Africans are saying that. They're saying, but you know what? I've been building my emergency savings. Right? And so trying to understand that, for me, I get to this point that they're saying, coming out of COVID, Google, coming out of people realizing the importance of emergencies, you and I have talked about that.
Yes.
That often, the fact that you don't have that little money for the rainy day, it means if an emergency comes, you often have to go and get a loan. And then you end up more indebted. So for me, it's almost like people are sitting back and saying, you know what? That is a reality. I've got a plan to make sure that I pay it over time. I know I'm struggling with some of the bills, but I can't wait to pay all my debt, then start building emergency savings. Yes. So for me, it's so positive, Gugu, in that sense.
Yes, I think this is so refreshing to hear, right? And especially the message around credit, because for the longest time, we have South Africans, and the data does show that we've, for lack of a better word, maybe even abused access to credit, right?
Yeah.
That the extra that the bank or whichever institution gives you is your money.
Yes.
And then we delay in paying it back.
Correct.
What we've noticed is that banks and institutions have actually tightened lending criteria before interest rates were cut. Has that shifted our thinking and mentality when it comes to credit? What does the data reveal around that behavior?
Spot on. And like what we're saying, that, you know, the idea around money is really thoughts, feelings, right? And so what we saw in the data, and I'm so glad, Gugu, you're bringing out the idea of attitude towards credit. That's what you're saying. So if I owe a bank or any financial institution, how am I thinking about it? I think what you are starting to see now, and perhaps because of people realizing that if you have a bad credit record, it kind of catches up down the line. Maybe now want a big purchase like a house, you know, a bigger purchase like a car. So we saw a clear evidence of consumers saying, as far as formal debt, right, we're seeing a reduction of that. You're seeing people just saying, I have a little bit too much. I just want to manage what I have. Mm-hmm. So that's a good part of the story. Another very interesting, Gugu, 7 in 10 South Africans, you love these statistics. You know what they said?
Yes.
I check my credit score every year.
Oh.
Just think about that interest of who I owe, right? How much do I owe, how am I doing with paying that back, right? So there's another element of information around credit. There is a little bit, Gugu, of bad news around that. The decline in formal credit in our Netfin Health report, what are we seeing? It's accompanied by more individuals, almost 6 in 10, saying, I am going to friends, family. We even had the expression, loan shark or abomashonisa. We had it in the survey.
Oh, wow.
We saw an uptick on that. So that's a little bit of a bad news for me, because, you know, if you have exposure, family and friends, it's quite difficult to talk about money in family and friends. It can ruin relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Abomashonisa, you know, it can be bad when they try to get that money. So whilst people checking their credit scores, we give it a tick. Whilst individuals say, I'm trying to manage what I have, little bit concerned as Nedbank on the uptick on borrowing from family and friends and abomancho in informal channels, in other words.
Got you. And that's perhaps, you know, shows the level of discomfort that many South Africans do experience, that maybe going to a financial services institution is challenging or stricter controls, and I don't want to damage my credit score, so I'd rather go to a loved one.
I think that explains part of it,
That's true. Another key metric that I did see in the report is job satisfaction, and I think this is so important because it's one of the reasons when you ask people that, why are you so indebted?
Yeah.
They constantly tell you, I'm just not earning enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's a clear indicator there. What are we witnessing here in terms of job satisfaction? I do see it increased 4.4 points.
It's increased, lovely.
Percent,
and what that says to us, so you and I have often said, Gugu, we love telling Kaya FM listeners, please budget, check your credit score, look out for your finances better. But often in the equation, we miss the employer. What role can the employer play in the financial wellness of their employees, right? So they can have employee wellness programs. They can bring financial education. What this data point says, any employer listening out there who says, you know, I don't want to be involved in the finances of my employees. It's their secret. You know, I pay them enough. The data clearly, Gugu, tells us that employees with lower financial stress, we saw that coming down. Less worry about finances. You know, I'm not getting a call from a debt collector, perhaps, or I'm just not worried about not being able to pay school fees, or, hey, things might happen and, you know, I may lose my car. So an individual with less of those concerns, there is clear two things you see. Firstly, that individuals have higher scores of financial wellness, whether it's their borrowing score or their savings score.
Ah.
And it feeds through, Gugu, to the job satisfaction. So I just say, someone who's managing their money well, has less stress around money, we're seeing that person responding and saying, you know what, I'm quite satisfied. They're not saying necessarily, you know, I'm paid what I need to be paid, but they're just saying things are manageable. So it's really a message for employers to say, activities that improve the financial health of employees feeds through to job satisfaction, customer service, employee engagement, and all those wonderful things.
I find this so refreshing, and I think it's a wonderful clarion call to all employers to say, come on board, educate your employees around. Yes, you might give them a pay slip with a salary at the end of the month, but help them manage it effectively, especially when it comes to just understanding what is out there. I want us to reach out to many of our callers and our listeners. Do feel free to dial in 086-000-959. We want to hear from you. We're also happy to take your voice notes on 063-688-0959. We want to hear from you in terms of your financial financial health? Are things better? Are you still uncomfortable? Are you still taking strain? Or are you finding ways to actually manage the themes around your money? We are in conversation with Dr. Frank Makwekwe. He's the Executive for Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank. I wanted to talk about health. There's a word you used, stress. Hey.
And we talk a lot about it, Google, right?
Right.
I'm stressed, I'm this, I'm that, yeah.
Exactly. You actually monitor this within the report as well, in terms of our health concerns. That's down by at least 5 percentage points to 14% in the year 2024. Help us unpack that correlation, financial stability or financial health versus your own physical health. Because, there are many of us with headaches for days because of credit cards.
Spot on, Google. And, you know, for us at Nedbank, it was going beyond just the budgeting, the saving, the compound interest. We're really saying, if you look at how central money is in our lives, it's important to kind of understand other aspects that it touches on. And so the physical one, for me, is so interesting, Gugu, because what this is telling us is an individual who's sitting and worried about my credit card, worried about being able to pay that debt, that school fees. What we often don't realize, Gugu, is it's not just worry. It's not just stress and we move on. That financial, in other words, that thought, that's, ish, I don't have enough money. What about this? And maybe I don't pay this person now. And next month, I'm going to try to do this. That takes a lot of brain capacity, right?
Yeah.
To just think and try to solve that. What we often don't realize, exactly your example, Google, that has a physical impact. So migraines, insomnia, poor relationship, arguments in families, irritability, all those physical manifestations, often they are very much linked to financial stress. So financial stress matters, and being able to think about it, finding help at the workplace, finding help through a financial advisor does help. So we see things like physical health, exercising, a little bit of jogging, walking, direct correlation to finances. And the way I explain it is, you know, if you're out there walking for a time, you're getting clarity on perhaps how can I solve my finance? You're not too much into it. And so that physical activity perhaps is a channel that just says, you know what, maybe I can talk to someone. Maybe I can go to my bank and ask for restructuring of my debt.
Yes.
So whilst we want to earn more, we are also saying there are other things that don't cost money. A little walk, sitting under the tree, just kind of reflecting, meditate. All those go away a long way to reducing financial stress, and they have an impact on physical health.
Definitely. Dr. Makwekwe, what I'm keen to understand, I'm not too sure if this report takes into account what we saw on the 1st of September, the introduction of two pots.
Yes.
And South Africans having the ability to tap into a portion of their savings. So far, it's upwards of what, 35 billion rand that's been paid out.
1.9 million people have access. My 35 goodness. Billion, Gugu.
That's a lot, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And it's telling. And I'm keen to understand if this actually then influences our financial wealth and behavior.
Yes.
And if we've been able to track so far, if at all, as to how people are actually using this money, whether it's just for Kuku to buy a new handbag or if Kuku's actually paying off her debt.
Yeah. So two things there. So indirectly in our report, we're already in fields from 1 September. So we don't have hard data on it. But I can give you two things. So the first one clearly was a sense of when we did the survey and just talking to our respondents, there was this exuberance, there was this excitement that, yo, two pot is coming, I'm going to access my money, etc., etc. That's one part of it. And then we forgot to some of the data that we have seen as Nedbank and what's out there in research.
Mm-hmm.
There are two things around it. So the first one is there was this expectation, Google, that people would use the money to pay debt. Lot of research has come. There is no credible evidence supporting that at this point in time.
Gotcha.
So people are going out there, they access their money, they pay tax at their marginal tax rate.
Mm.
They are using this money for other things. Very few from the data that has come from other banks, including Nedbank, that people are using it for leisure, people are using it to buy things that they needed in the household. It's very little that is going into reducing debt. That's the first point. The second is because the two-pot, what it does, it's giving you money for now.
Yes.
I think one of the pieces of info we need to get out there is, number one, you don't have to get the money if you don't have an emergency, right? Because your money is there, it's growing. You don't have to access it, right? But more importantly, Gugu, for me, is this idea that please remember, when you get that money, you are depriving it of the opportunity to grow and be there for you in retirement. So we say as NetBank, accessing your two-pot money, the money in the savings pot, should be a last resort. Not only are you paying tax at the marginal tax rate, but if you go to a bank and get a loan, you probably get, you know, a much better deal than accessing your money and paying this heavy tax and missing the growth 100%. In the market.
It's so funny. I was actually explaining that to a colleague of mine a few beginning of September, and yeah. I actually said you'd actually be better off going to get a loan.
And get yourself a loan, spot on, yeah.
As long as you structure it correctly, yes. You monitor the interest, yeah. You make sure that you maintain your monthly payments,
yeah.
You'd find that you'd rather keep the benefit of the compound interest
over
rate
time.
Over time versus the short-term loan that you're going to actually take. Dr. Makwekwe, there's so much we want to discuss. We've got Elias on the line. He's got a question,
yeah.
But we also have to pay the bills. So I want to encourage everyone that we will extend this conversation by about another 10 minutes, and you are more than welcome to dial in with your question, ask for some suggestions, maybe even share your experience,
yes.
Around how you're experiencing your financial wealth. Are you more confident? Are you uneasy? Have you been able to save? Are you paying off your credit? Or hey, skala sbaning. Let us know. Dial in on 086-000-959. Happy to take your voice notes too on 063-688-0959. We are in conversation with Dr. Frank Makwekwe, Managing Executive. I beg your pardon, Executive. But they should give you a promotion. Right? Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Gugu.
Executive for Financial Wellness and Advisory at NetBank. It's 19 minutes to 8 o'clock. We're continuing with this conversation on the other side of this. Yep, we're on the street. We're on the air, quite literally everywhere. You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959 with myself, Kukule Tumfupi. We are in conversation with Dr. Frank Makwekwe, Executive for Financial Wellness and Advisory at NetBank. And we're talking all things to do with money. Yep, how it influences you and I, our mood, our behavior, and most importantly, how it is that we approach life. Now, this is on the back of the latest Nedfin Health Monitor report. It really tracks not only our financial health and well-being, but also uses 8 indicators that are grouped into 4 different categories to understand how we spend, how we save, how we borrow, and how we plan. We've been covering a plethora of themes here with Dr. Frank, and essentially, there is some positivity. Many of us have been managing our credit a lot better, though we are still taking strain. But we're also finding alternatives to make sure that we boost our emergency savings, but also finding new avenues to make sure that the aspects that contribute to our financial wealth, like our job satisfaction, like our health, are also key priorities to make sure that we manage our finances a lot better. So hoping to find a better position. Well, before the ad break, I asked many of you to call in to share your questions and also just to share your experience around your financial health and financial behavior. Are you finding that it's easier to manage your money now in this economy, or are you still struggling? Well, someone who has a question for us is Elias from Clayville, who dialed in. Elias, welcome to the show.
Greetings. Welcome, Gugu Mfupi.
Thank you. Welcome
back. You made our life a living hell. But you did show us what's happening on the other side of the world. Can you please, from my side, I'm just speaking because I bought my house alone at 24 years, but I saw that the advisor that it was just a friend, but he said buy a car first, buy a house first before you buy a car. So can you please iterate and teach the new generation in terms of what's the liability or implications of buying a car before a property?
Got you. But Elias, just one quick question. How old were you again when you got this advice or when you purchased your property?
I was 20, born in April. I signed with the lawyers in...
Sorry, your age. How old were you? Because I'm trying to assess when you might
have. Yeah, I was 24.
24 years.
Okay. 24 years.
And that's important, right? Because Dr. Frank, it actually speaks to then the kind of responsibility.
Because currently, the one thing that I want to reiterate, currently there's a challenge of priority challenges. You choose a car, but a car is like too much of a liability, a lot. A house is only rates and taxes. Yeah, it's all in electricity. You just sustain yourself. You can go with taxi. But all of the other stuff, I just wanted you to be... I'm just welcoming you with that question.
Got you. Thank you so much, but Elias, really appreciate it. We'll respond to your question and also add a more commentary around this. Dr. Makwekwe, your thoughts on this one. And he raises a very valid point.
Yes.
You know, which asset to buy first, a car or a house.
Yeah.
But this is also a very personal conversation, 100%. Right? Depending on
yes.
your needs as an individual.
Yes. So it depends where you are. And I'm so glad, Gugu, you asked a little bit of context.
Yes.
24 years old. I think for most young people, if you're 24, you think about easiness of traveling around. What's in their mind is probably getting a car. Why? Because also a car, just in terms of someone starting out in their mid-20s, it's probably more affordable than, you know, kind of property. I guess it depends where you are also looking at the property. So it's not one size fits all. I think the common theme in that message, Gugu, is when you are taking debt to buy a car or you are taking debt to buy a house, there is debt for assets, and then there, you know, is debt for asset that appreciate in value,
yes,
and asset that depreciate. So I hear an element of, but a car is a depreciating asset, why would you start with that? That's what I heard about earlier saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's I think it's it depends on context. And so if someone starts with a car, for me I would say if you're starting out, the probably good idea to do is probably go for, you know, maybe a used car. There are so many deals that are available currently,
mm-hmm,
as opposed to going for a brand new, because they're just starting out in life, and then think about their house much later.
Definitely. And maybe let's add that, because at 24, you probably don't have a family you need to look after. And
there
what
you go.
You're trying to do is to build and accumulate wealth.
Yes.
And a vehicle will help you get access to those jobs by giving you flexibility and freedom to move around.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it might depreciate, but as long as it's helping you accrue some kind of additional income, that probably works best. But I also understand if you're purchasing a property, maybe you've got greater responsibilities, looking after family, then that is also an option. But you do need to understand your credit health and your needs and the repayment terms.
And the maintenance, the property, now you own it, you have to maintain that property as well. So that all comes into play. Yeah.
Definitely. Happy to take more questions that are on the line. We do have a voice note from Zooks regarding financial stress and how it actually does
manifest. Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, Gugs. Hello, Doctor. I like what the doctor has just said in terms of, you know, our employers empowering us as employees with a financial wellness. Because at the end of the day, when I am stressed because of my finances, I'm unable to perform. So companies need to really, really put more investment in terms of financial awareness for their employees.
And I think this is an important point, right? Making sure that our employers are also on board to say, Kuku, are you comfortable?
Yes.
Is this car not straining you? Or what's happening?
Exactly. And in fact, you know, it's so interesting, Kuku. One of the things that we included in the Netfin Health Monitor is this concept. I'm sure you've heard it because it's a whole big fintech thing.
Yes.
This thing of end wage access. So essentially, early access to your money. You know, you're supposed to be paid on the 20th, but you know, you need money. And then the employer allows you to take a portion of that money before payday, right? And it's a good tool in helping to budget cash flow for employees. But what we found in our research is people who access their wages early, so almost 6 in 10, they have lower financial health compared to people who do not. And for us, the connection there is employers who offer this, it's called end wage access, they need to balance it with financial education, because there's a reason why I can't get to payday. So we need to help people build emergency save, change their financial behaviors. And so it's interesting to see something that is good, but you got to use it with caution to make sure it achieves that goal of reducing financial stress that the employer wants for their employees when they introduce it.
Got you. Buy now, pay later is also a key thing that's
please, Gugu, don't start me there.
Oh, no, is it a bad
thing? You know what? For me, Gugu, you know, do you know that old, boring, you know, lay-by. This is lay-by on steroids. Facilitated by tech. Three quick stats, Google. One, people who use buy now, pay later, 51%, 51 out of 100, Google. This is what they told us. They said, I regret my buy now, pay later purchase.
More than half.
More than half. It makes me be impulsive. I see it, I want it. Remember, these are the guys you see when you are checking out at Amazon or you're checking out at any of these online platform, and they say, do you want to use your credit card? Oh, buy now, pay later, right? So 51% say, I regret my purchases. 49%, Google, they say, almost also half, it makes me spend more than planned. If I had to buy with cash, I would not buy what I buy when I use buy now, pay later. Thirdly, individuals say, wait a minute, I didn't know it's debt. Because the way it works currently in South Africa,
they typically say it's interest free.
Thank you. Because why? The interest in the way they use the legislation is converted to fees. So it's a tech tool that doesn't charge interest, but it charges fees for getting these loans, right? So again, it's another tool that says use it to manage cash flow, but be careful because it can lead to this impulsive buying. So again, when we just looked, have you ever used buy now, pay later? Yes,
I haven't,
no.
But and
we,
okay.
Yeah? And we could see people who use it, they struggle with saving, they struggle with paying bills on time. So use it, but be careful to make sure you buy what you need. You don't go, you know, buying excessively just because you click a button and it's small loans of maybe a 2,000 over 4 weeks or 6 weeks. Yeah.
That's such a valid point. We actually spoke to one of those companies last night on the back of the Black Friday trends. Yes, and they were saying they saw a significant pickup in that performance.
Google, yes.
So, and it's a valid point that you mentioned that if you actually don't have the cash, if you can't access the credit or manage the credit repayment, then buy now, pay later might not be an option for you if you can't maintain those payments.
And it can then, this indebtedness, right?
Yes.
That then says, oh, I can't actually pay them. And then that's where the penalties are quite high when you miss payments. Right, the penalties are quite high. Currently, though, it's not a credit transaction, doesn't show in a credit bureau, but there is movement in across the world to make it a product that shows on the credit bureau. Like, for example, in Australia, they've just passed legislation to say what you buy on buy now, pay later will show on a credit report.
Oof.
In South Africa, currently, it doesn't.
Okay, so it's saving you for now, but it does catch up with you in terms of your pocket anyway and the repayments.
Yes. So one must be careful,
Definitely.
Yeah.
Dr. Frank, I'm keen to take a few more questions. 0636880959. Get your voice notes in. Happy for you to dial into, like Uput Elias, 0860000959 before we do wrap up. I can imagine many people now might be sitting and thinking, it's December.
Yes.
It's December, Gugu and Put Frank. We don't want to talk
Stop
about
it.
The stress.
Yes.
We actually want to make sure that we can just enjoy our money. Yeah. Guide us, because you've often been so tactful and so helpful in taking away the shame and the embarrassment of poor financial management. So for someone who might be in that predicament right now, saying it's December, I want to enjoy myself, but I also don't want January blues.
Yes.
What do we do?
That's so key, Gugu. And the research from the report clearly shows, right? So someone who's listening, a Kaya FM listener, and saying, but this is just research. What does it mean for me?
Mm-hmm.
You can see how we unpacking financial behaviors that it can improve your financial health. So you can start, be a little bit aware of buy now, pay later as an example, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we go to holiday, I always start with this book, and maybe it's a little bit of being older, a little bit of being wiser, that over and above rands and cents, for me, when we think about December, the first thing that comes to mind for me is self-compassion. It's, we know there is a lot of pressure to spend. There is need to travel, going home.
Yes.
There is need to spend time with extended family members. We are going to make some decisions that we look back and we say, you know, maybe really that wasn't planned, that wasn't my budget. January fees, I'm going to be in trouble. So I always start by saying, we need to be self. In other words, you need to be kind to yourself because there's so much pressure to spend around that time. So that's my number one message. Then we go into, you need to plan because January is going to be here. So you need to start now in December to say, is there money that I can put, for example, in a 32-day deposit? I have no access to it. I'm protecting myself from it.
Uh-huh.
Then come January, I access it to buy school fees, to buy stationery, and. You can't just wake up in January and say, then people go and look for loans. That's the second thing. The third thing and final thing, Gugu, for me, again, just comes from experience. It's the idea of boundaries. Often, and I used to struggle with that, how often do we say yes when we mean no? When we can't.
Because you're the favorite uncle.
Yes, favorite uncle, you've got a better job. And so I think for the holidays, it's so important for Kaya FM listeners to have bound. In other words, to say to me, guys, I really would like to help, contribute. I would like to visit you, all above. But I'm also aware of my financial responsibilities in January.
Yes.
I can only go this far. So making it upfront and giving a cogent reason, like, guys, I still have expenses in Jan, so mm-hmm. I can only help to this level. It makes it easier to have that conversation as opposed to say yes, and you're running around, you know, trying to find money in January. So it's about striking a balance that, you know, it's first season,
yes.
it's been a long year, we must pat ourselves on the back, but do it cautiously to make sure when January comes, as you said, Gugu, you don't have those January blues.
Definitely. Such adequate advice. And of course, as you said, starting by being kind to yourself. However hard you've worked, what
yes.
you've accumulated, what it is you can do,
yeah.
be patient and kind with yourself, strong boundaries,
yes.
and of course, going back to budgeting and essentially finding tools that make it easy for you to put money away.
Yeah.
Banks have also made it easier. On
yes.
the app, you can access saving and investment tools,
yes.
even your credit score to monitor your
yeah.
behavior. So it really is at our fingertips.
So the tools are there. Yeah,
definitely.
I agree.
Dr. Makweko, such a pleasure.
Where did the time go?
Right. Oh, man.
Please promise on National Radio you will have me back.
We definitely will.
Thank
we
you,
definitely
Gugu.
Will.
Always a pleasure to have conversation with you. Thank you for the opportunity
anytime.
To talk to Kaya FM listeners.
Such a delight. Oh, Dr. Frank, we were actually just talking about this off air, about how long ago we started this journey together. Oh, yeah. From TV days to here we are on radio. So really appreciate the consistency in helping South Africans find their financial strength and remove the embarrassment around tough financial times, because they come and go.
Yes.
Ebbs and flows.
Spot on.
Definitely. That's Dr. Frank Makweko, Executive for Financial Wellness and Advisory at Nedbank, helping us unpack some of the latest data in the Nedfin Health Monitor. A big thank you to Put Elias for also calling in and sharing his thoughts on the conversation, and also asking a question around, you know, evaluating what kinds of credit to tap into. But overall, I hope this conversation and tonight's show has left you feeling a lot more optimistic, though, about the options available for you to manage your money. Yes, things have been tough. Yes, interest rates have had us in a chokehold. They have come down for some time, so a little bit of reprieve that we've experienced. But the truth is, your management of financial behavior is an ongoing process. There are ebbs and flows in lives. There are assets you'll acquire, assets you might lose. There's income you need to continue coming in and maintaining, and maybe new avenues of revenue streams that you need to pull in. Ultimately, as Dr. Frank Makweko has highlighted, make sure that you're kind to yourself, budget, and have the necessary boundaries in place, because January blues is the last thing that we're looking for. It's been a blast being with you this evening, and of course, appreciate the various thoughts and insights and voice notes many of you have shared. We've covered many topics tonight, including one that actually spoke about property stock files. As we wrap up the show, we'll close out with this voice note from Mubulawa, oh, one of our favorite listeners here, commenting on property stock files.
How does this property stock fell work? I mean, if we're still battling with people, you know, babali ya kachelete ya grocery, imagine highly property money. Just the thought of it terrifies me. Intrigued, though. I'm very intrigued as to how does it work? Do we buy for this one this year? And then after 5 years, we buy for the next one? Yo, it's tempting, but it's very scary. It's, I get.
Valid point there, Mubulawa. I'll tell you what, we'll follow up on this conversation, because you're right. Depending on the structure, depending on the organization, depending on the agreement that is also entailed, there are various outcomes to the property stock files. But it is growing in popularity. We'll give you some insight on that when we come back on our property feature next week. But for now, it's 8 o'clock. Coming up next is Phimelo Mudene on Point of View.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.